You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Han. Today is Tuesday, April 11th, 2017. It is our second to last podcast of the regular season. So tomorrow on Wednesday will be our final regular season podcast, and then after the Clippers game Wednesday night against the Sacramento Kings, we're officially shifting into NBA playoffs mode. Thursday and Friday, we'll be getting ready for the NBA playoffs. It's going to be a blast. So hopefully you tune in all week. You can find this podcast on audioboom.com. You can find it on clipstation.com from time to time. I try to get it up most days, but it doesn't always happen. And of course, you can subscribe on iTunes, listen on Stitcher, all that good stuff. Now, today, if you're a regular listener of the show, you know that first of all, I live on the East Coast, so late games don't end until really late on the East Coast, obviously, about 1 a.m. And then national television games, because of the extra commercial breaks, go even longer. So I'm going to try to keep this episode a little bit brief so that I can get some sleep tonight. But I did want to make sure to have a Tuesday episode because the Clippers had a pretty big win tonight, and the Utah Jazz had a pretty big win of their own, which is makes for an interesting Wednesday. So I want to make sure we get a little caught up on the standings and maybe, depending on how the timing of the episode goes, take a peek at what's going on in the Eastern Conference, where it looks like a lot is going to come down to the last game to figure out a lot in the Eastern Conference. So first things first, Clippers had a big-time win over the Rockets, 125-96. The game was close. The Clippers were tied at the end of the first quarter, up only 4 at halftime. And then in the third quarter, they had this ridiculous 36-12 period that put them way ahead going into the final frame and pretty much made for 15 minutes of garbage time. And even though the Rockets did cut it down, I think, to 20, the Clippers ended up winning by 29. So they actually had seven players in double figures, with Brandon Bass and Paul Pierce getting there in garbage time. But the main contributors, five guys who reached double figures in the first half and then helped the team out in building that lead in the second half, Chris Paul, Luke Mbamute, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, and Jamal Crawford off the bench, who had a good game with 19 points on 14 shots. Chris Paul had 19 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds, and 4 steals. Blake Griffin had 18 points on 6 of 11 shooting and 8 rebounds. Luke Mbamute actually had one of his best offensive games of the year, 15 points on 6 of 8 from the field, a made 3, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, and DeAndre Jordan chipped in with 14 points and 11 boards. JJ Redick didn't have a great game, 4 of 12 from the field, 1 of 6 from deep for 9 points, but he actually did get going a little bit in the third quarter after a pretty bad start. I think he was 1 of 8, and he finished 4 of 12, so that means he made 3 of his last 4 shots, and his only made 3-pointer also came into the third quarter. So I'm not overly worried about JJ, but overall he didn't have a great game tonight. And on the defensive end, you know, the Clippers just did a good job on James Harden. Luke Mbamute did a great job there. Harden had 14 points, 6 assists, 7 rebounds, and 5 turnovers, 2 of 9 from the field. And the Clippers were able to attack him effectively and get him in foul trouble as well. He played a lot of the third quarter with 4 fouls, and then the Clippers were finally able to get that 5th foul on him, forcing him to the bench. And then they really blew the lead open and made sure that he never came back in. The other nice thing is the Clippers were able to keep their minutes down because they won the game so handily. And, you know, I don't think you want to be resting guys, and I'm not sure the Clippers would have rested guys Wednesday against Sacramento even if the Utah Jazz had lost tonight and they'd clinched, because they've been playing so well and you don't want guys to start getting rusty. But they definitely like being able to keep minutes down, and hopefully if they can get word that things are starting to go their way on Wednesday night, shut guys down a little bit early, keep those minutes totals in the 20s. Chris Paul led the team with 29 tonight, or actually Jamal Crawford had more off the bench, but all of the starters were between 24 and 29 minutes, and that's really where you'd like to see them at this stage in the season. Now, the one guy who's obviously missing from the Clippers is Austin Rivers, who's still out nursing that sore left hamstring. We haven't gotten an official update on Austin, but you know, he's a guy that really helps the team when he's in there, and I think there's been a lot of, I've seen it on the Clips Nation in the comments actually, people saying, well, the Clippers, You know, 6 wins in a row. Austin Rivers been out for 6 games. Yeah, but no. In a lot of these games, the starters have been tremendous and the bench has been bad. And it's basically just been the amazing play of Blake Griffin carrying the team to wins, even with Austin Rivers out. And Austin Rivers isn't a huge, you know, it's not like Chris Paul having a great game or Chris Paul having a bad game could decide if the Clippers win or lose. Austin Rivers is just like a nice piece off the bench, and sometimes he can swing a game with a good stretch, and sometimes if no one on the bench is playing well, then the other team can go on a run, which can swing a game in the bad way for the Clippers. But it's not like, oh, yeah, Austin Rivers sitting and the Clippers are winning. I think people are looking a little too much to crucify him because he's the coach's son. He's been the Clippers' best bench player this year, and they'll be better when he's back on the floor because he plays good defense, he has positional versatility, and he's been shooting the ball well this year. So hopefully he'll be back for Game 1 of the playoffs. Now, speaking of Game 1 of the playoffs, obviously we won't know the playoff schedule until Thursday, but here are a couple things to keep in mind. Each of the last 2 seasons, the Clippers have had the last Game 1, the Sunday night game. Now, they're going to have a night game because their series is going to be played on the West Coast. And so, because those first 2 games of the playoffs, Saturday and Sunday, are weekends, they'll go quadruple headers both days. The East Coast teams are obviously going to play the early afternoon games, and then the last night of the game, or the last game of the night, excuse me, one night is going to be the Golden State Warriors because it'll be a California home game, and then the other night, it's not going to be San Antonio or Houston. So it's going to be either the Clippers or the Jazz, whichever team is home in Game 1. Hopefully it'll be the Clippers. But so then it'll just be a matter of, do the Clippers get the Saturday slot or the Sunday slot, and the Warriors will get whichever one the Clippers don't get, or, you know, the Clippers will get whichever one the Warriors don't get, I guess. But the Clippers have played in the Sunday slot each of the last 2 years. I think it's a little better for them to play Saturday. I mean, obviously, it's not a big deal, but if you had to choose, I think you would choose the Saturday game, because if you start a day earlier, every single other game of the series is one day earlier than if you had started a day later, and that just means that when you finish the first round, you have one extra day of rest than you would have had between the first round and the second round. So in theory, you know, if you can get out of the first round in 5 games, it gives you maybe 3 days of rest or 4 days of rest in between Game 5 and then Game 1 against the Warriors instead of 3 days of rest. But it doesn't matter a ton. The general schedule is probably going to be one day off and then Game 2, 2 days off and then Game 3, 1 day off and then Game 4. So you're looking at Saturday, Monday, Thursday, Saturday, or Sunday, Tuesday, Friday, Sunday. Because there's so many games going on in the first round with 8 series going on that they can't do quadruple headers on the weeknight, so they'll try to space those games out a little bit more. And because you're traveling in between games 2 and 3, that's where you'll tend to see teams get a little bit of rest. And then from games 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you'll probably only see one day off in between each game. That's where it would be really helpful for the Clippers to get out of the first round early and get some rest days going into that Warriors series. Now, the Utah Jazz also won tonight against the Golden State Warriors. Maybe the Warriors doing a little bit of strategic losing with, you know, obviously the Jazz chasing the Clippers for playoff positioning. Now the Warriors have basically ensured that both teams that they could potentially face in the second round will have to play hard in an extra game. If the Warriors had taken care of business and beaten the Jazz tonight, then the Clippers would have clinched home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs tonight, and Wednesday's game wouldn't have mattered for either team, giving both teams a chance to get a little extra rest. But because the Warriors let the Jazz win, or the Jazz beat the Warriors, however you want to look at it, Jazz and Clippers now obviously both have something to play for on Wednesday. A little less rest, you know, it's marginal. It's probably just as marginal as whether you start the first round on Saturday or Sunday, but, you know, it factors in somewhere along the line, in some little percentage, it definitely is to Golden State's advantage, even though it could be to a tiny advantage. And one big deal for Utah is that George Hill was back tonight. In 19 minutes, he had 20 points and 5 assists, 7 of 9 from the field, 5 of 7 from deep. Now, he's not going to play that well in every game, but it's really, really a good sign for them that he's back and healthy, because he's a big part of their team and he makes them pretty dangerous. The Jazz also weren't playing at full strength tonight with Rodney Hood and Gordon Hayward sitting out, but obviously those guys should be fine and good to go for the playoffs, so that's not hugely indicative. Now, as we had discussed, in the Western Conference, the only thing that still matters is the Clippers and Jazz. So Warriors at 1, Spurs at 2, Rockets at 3, Thunder at 6, Grizzlies at 7, and Trailblazers at 8. All six of those teams are completely locked into their seed. The only thing that can change is who has home court between the Clippers and the Jazz. They're going to be playing each other either way, and that will come down to Wednesday night's games. The Clippers host the Sacramento Kings. If the Clippers win that game, then they will have home court no matter what happens in the Utah game. If the Clippers lose that game and Utah wins, Utah will pass them. If the Clippers lose that game and Utah loses, the Clippers will hold on. Now, what works to the Clippers' advantage is that the Utah-San Antonio game tips an hour and a half before this Clippers-Sacramento game. So the Clippers will probably have to start their starters, and then you might be able to go into the locker room at halftime, and if the Spurs have beaten the Jazz, then you don't have to play your starters in the second half. But the Clippers will probably have to play their starters at least in the first half of that game, and then depending on the outcome of that Utah-San Antonio game, they may or may not have to play them still in the second half. And depending, honestly, on how much of a fight Sacramento puts up. We saw Sacramento really come back and kick the Clippers' asses in that 18-point comeback in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter in the last time these two teams played. And so part of me wonders if the Clippers starters want to play in this game anyway and just really come out and, you know, send a message and blow the Kings out of the water. And I don't want to necessarily predict that because, you know, obviously anything can happen, just like we saw with the Clippers blowing that lead the last time they played. Literally anything can happen. But it would be kind of nice to see the Clippers come out and send that kind of message in their last regular season of the game, especially with the significance of Sacramento having made that huge comeback against them just a few games ago. Now, just looking briefly as we wrap up the episode at the goings-on in the Eastern Conference, the Cleveland Cavaliers lost to the Miami Heat tonight, which keeps Miami alive for a playoff spot, but bumps the Cavaliers down to second place in the conference, with Boston having beaten the Brooklyn Nets. Milwaukee beat Charlotte, which now Milwaukee, I think, is going to hold on to the sixth seed. Chicago beat Orlando, which keeps them tied with Miami for eighth place. Washington beat Detroit. Detroit's out, but Washington is in fourth place, sitting just one loss behind Toronto. And that's it for the Eastern Conference. So the way it looks right now is I think every single one of these teams, well, let's see. Okay, Atlanta still has two games left to play, but here's how it's looking. Boston is one game up on Cleveland. Each team has one game left to play. Cleveland has the tiebreaker there. Toronto is, so if Boston loses and Cleveland wins, Cleveland get the one seed back. But if Boston wins, Boston's going to finish first place in the Eastern Conference, which is, I think, something a lot of people didn't expect 5 years ago. So, you know, good for them. But Toronto is one game up on Washington in that 3-4 race, and Cleveland actually is only one game up on Toronto in the 2-3 race, although I don't know who has the tiebreakers in all of those matchups. And then moving down to the bottom half of the playoff picture where things start to get really congested, the Hawks are 42-38, the Bucks are 42-39, the Pacers are 41-40, and the Bulls and Heat are tied at 40-41. So obviously there's a lot still to be decided in the Eastern Conference, so you just get a feeling that these are where we're going to see maybe some of the more competitive games coming down the stretch of this regular season. There aren't a lot of impactful games on Tuesday. Atlanta's hosting Charlotte, so that game doesn't matter for Charlotte, who's already been eliminated, but obviously Atlanta has big incentive to keep winning. But then we've got Toronto against Cleveland on Wednesday, Milwaukee against Boston, Washington against Miami, Brooklyn against Chicago, Atlanta against Indiana. So a lot of Eastern Conference teams are playing with playoff ramifications on the line, and actually a lot of those head-to-head matchups, Atlanta against Indiana, Washington against Miami, Boston against Milwaukee, Toronto against Cleveland, we're seeing all eight Eastern Conference playoff teams, or eight of the nine teams in the race for the Eastern Conference playoffs, are in action against each other, and then Chicago is playing Brooklyn. So those should be some actually really interesting games on Wednesday night, probably more compelling than their Western Conference counterparts, just because those teams all have so much left to play for. Now, I'm checking on that Cavaliers Toronto tiebreaker. Okay, so Cleveland has won all three games between them and the Raptors so far. So regardless of that Wednesday game, Cleveland has the tiebreaker over Toronto. They're going to finish at least second. So it's just a matter of if they can win that game and Boston loses. But Cleveland's not going to lose that tiebreaker to Toronto and fall to third. But yeah, so those are going to be some really interesting games in the Eastern Conference on Wednesday. We will have a brand new episode tomorrow morning talking kind of about those games, getting ready for the Clippers-Sacramento game. And then on Thursday and Friday, we will transition a little more fully into picking the playoff series, who we think is going to win. I think I'm going to try to do a couple minutes on each series just to talk about the teams, because I know you guys are probably going to be, maybe not watch every game of every series, but at some point or another, you'll probably end up watching at least a game or two of most of the series. So it's nice to have a little bit of background and know what's going on with these teams. And then we'll talk about kind of the Clippers season in retrospect on Thursday, I think, looking back at expectations, what went down, how it all happened. And then on Friday, we'll talk a little bit more about the specific matchups, getting ready for that Utah Jazz series. And of course, you should keep your eye on the Clips Nation blog, www.clipsnation.com, because we're going to have lots of great stuff getting ready for the playoffs there. With that being said, I'm going to call it an episode, ending this one a little shorter because, like I said, it's super late here on the East Coast. But as always, if you have any comments, questions, or feedback, you can hit me up on Twitter at LucasJHan or email me lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. And you can just chat Clippers anytime, tweet at ClipsNationSBN, read the ClipsNation blog, like I said, www.clipsnation.com, or follow ClipsNation on Facebook by just typing ClipsNation in the Facebook search bar. If you like the show, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a good review. And thanks for listening, guys. This is Lucas Hand signing off for Locked On Clippers.